So welcome everybody to this talk about Patrick Elmer. My name is Klaus Ibsen. I'm a software engineer from Red Hat. I'm also a passion member and a Java champion. I've been working as a full-time camel creator for over 10 years. I also wrote a couple of books on camel. So yeah, camel is kind of my life. And this is my companion, Mr. Camel. He goes with me, and we have been to the photographer and take photos and everything, so he's a star. And this is my first time here in Las Vegas together with my wife. She's sitting there in the middle and taking photos. So I have to behave, so I can't curse. The first time I was at PassionCon, that was 3 years ago. It was very easy to give a talk back then because there was nobody in the room. Well, it was Spain. And what do people in Spain enjoy? Drinking, yes, but also their siesta. So they were a bit late. So of course, after a while, some people turned up and we got going with the talk. So we'll have to go. So what I'm going to cover about today is the integration evolution from when Camel got started until today. And then I'll give an overview of the Camel projects. We have the new version Camel 3 coming up. Also about a new product called Camel K and Camel Quarkus. Later today and tomorrow, there will be more talks about Camel K. And Nicola and Andrea is sitting here. Raise your hands. And these two guys are the main go-to guys about this product. So please go and listen to their talks about Camel K. So, integration evolution. So, a long, long time ago. In fact, so long ago when the Camel website looked like this.
A month ago?
Yeah, you're taking my joke. So, yeah, so people that are following Camel, you know this has been our website from the beginning and also 10 years. Even though this was Internet Archive, this is from 2009, January. But if you took January 2019, it will look the same. And actually, only last month, we got a totally new website. So, don't just by the look of the website, Camel is the most and best integration framework on the planet, but not the website. So back then, a long, long time ago, the architecture of integration was based on the principle of SOAR, service-oriented architecture. You know, there were some good principles back then, you know, contract first, so service should have like a first contract development, loose couplings among service, build service for reuse, and be able to orchestrate and compose new service from existing service and so on. But there was one problem with the SOAR architecture. We had sort of like in the center this sort of like in a platform. Some people say it's an integration platform or an ESP. That platform was sort of like becoming a bottleneck. It was slow to adapt changes, it was slow to evolve, and also there was sort of like a team that was kind of guarding this platform, so when other people need to have changes into that system, to into production, they had to go through this team, and you know, other people were waiting to do the same thing, and it became a bottleneck. If we look at an architecture based on the passive software, using that SOAR principle, it will be the service mix project. It was based around a specification called JBI. How many people know about JBI? Raise your hand. Okay, the people that raise their hands, they are the, sorry, saying old people. The JBI is a very old specification. It's there, and so is the service mix project. But the good things came around from this that we got Camel. So service mix needed a routing engine, and that became Camel. And also the core of service mix itself, the platform, the app server kind of thing became a classic graph. So today, an ESP-like architecture will look like something like this based on Caraf, and then you install Camel and your apps. And you may say, okay, is people using this today? Yes, they are. It might be a little slight outdated architecture, but it's still probably one of the most used platforms for running Camel today. So, for example, everybody of us who are flying in and flying out of Vegas, we are using Camel. And how are you using Camel? Well, the FAA, Federal Aviation Authority, has a big system where they deliver flight data and weather data to all the airlines and the flights. If that system fails, you know, no flights can take off. And guess what? That system is based on camel.
Wow. Nice. It works.
And yeah, so that's awesome. So I'm using camel every day. There are other systems. This is not recorded, so I can say this in the public to you guys. Now we are in Vegas, and what do they have in Vegas? They have many things, but they have casinos. So what do the casinos do? They have chips you use to play and gamble with. And in these chips, there are RFID sensors that are picked up by sensors in the casinos. So they track the movements of the chips, and they use that information to kind of make people gamble more and stay longer and so on. And guess what? What is that system based on? Camel. And actually, I'm Cuban and so on. So you can say that is actually one of the use cases where camel is against me. So you can't win them all. There are many other use cases for camel. For example, they also use camel to kind of track when they build fighter jets. So when you build a fighter jet, there's actually more than 1 million pieces go into building that one. And guess what? If they see a finished fighter jet and then they look down on the floor, there's a missing piece. You know, that's not good. So they need to track every time they use a piece to assemble a fighter jet. And guess what? Yes, camel is also part of that. Okay, let's move on. Then in recent time, another architecture has become popular, microservice architecture. And it tries to address some of the problems with the SOAR. You know, it's more optimized for chains. So different teams can kind of work on their own set of service in a bounding context and be doing that. In camel, a very popular runtime for using SOAR, microservice is Spring Boot with camel. And it's okay to say Spring Boot because Spring Boot uses Apache software, there's Apache Tomcat underneath. We are, after all, Apache Software Foundation, right? So we have to favor Apache software. And the last one is the cloud native architecture. So when I talk about, when I say cloud, I mean Linux containers, and Linux containers, yeah, that is Kubernetes. If running in a cloud native architecture, it could be something like this. Again, using Spring Boot with camel. And then depending on, let's say, the version of the container platform, it might provide a service mesh or not. So the service mesh takes care of all the traffic, network traffic, and so on. And then you, as a developer, you focus more on your business logic in your app server. Now, you don't need always to use Spring Boot with camel for this kind of architecture. In camel 3, we have introduced what we call a camel main, which is sort of like a very lightweight camel version to bootstrap camel. We use also camel main in the camel K and camel caucus project. And yes, camel caucus. How many people have heard about caucus? So they're like, not so many people. I will talk a little bit about it at the end, but in essence, caucus itself warrants a talk by itself. But let me say that we think camel and caucus has a bright future together. Now, there's also another architecture, the serverless architecture, which Nicola and Ray will talk about later with camel K. It's also very exciting. And tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, you guys go more in depth and talk about more about Knative. So it's not like a repeat talk, so go and listen to the first one and also the second one. So what about camel 3? How many people... why did it take so long to come up with camel 3? Camel 2 has been around for 8 years and camel 1 for 3, maybe 4 years. Well, we had to wait for the nature to come up with a tree-humped camel. But just recently we heard that there was a spotting of a tree-humped camel in the desert out here in Nevada. So nature, rock on, and now we can make camel tree. So part of the camel products, we have tree. We have camel itself, that is the core, the integration framework. We have camel K. Nicola and Ray will talk more about that. And then also camel caucus. Nice and beautiful. So, how many people know about how to use camel? Okay, there are some people that have not. Actually, this is quite a big turnout of people using camel. Normally, it's like 50% at most. But there are some people that haven't used camel. For example, my wife. But she benefits from Camel. It doesn't pay the bills. So what is Camel, actually? Well, I've been trying for more than 12 years to tell people what Camel is, and I can't still figure it out. I can't certainly not explain it to my wife, or not even my mother. But, you know, one of the best analogies is to say it's the Swiss Army knife of integration. But also, very importantly, it's a product that has been very, very active for all the years. You can see the Git commits here over the years. And also, in recent times, you can see there are more commits. And why is that? Well, that's actually because we are developing Camel 3, and there's a lot of people working on that. And also, there's also one thing to it. Camel was created before we had Git and GitHub. So in the old days, we were using Subversion and all these kind of things. It was more painful to commit. So maybe you work on the bigger things before committing. But today with Git, it's easier to commit more often. So sometimes the feature is maybe 5 commits versus in the old days, it was only 1. So the graph might be a bit skewed based on that. But just take a note that nobody has taken a vacation. In the beginning, there was almost only me and a few other guys. But now there's a huge community of people. And we have 2 guys sitting there. But even though the 3 of us is here, other people is working on it. So there's a lot of activity ongoing. So Camel comes with a lot of features. And unfortunately, there's so many features that it may look like this army knife. Basically, Camel is an integration framework. I kind of also like to call it an integration kit. It has support for many great runtimes, you know, Spring Boot and all the other ones. But it's based on enterprise integration patterns, which I'm going to just reveal in a moment. It comes with a lot of components, which are connectors for different systems. And actually, what you're going to take away from Camel is that it can integrate almost everything. So we are being a little modest. Not everything, but almost everything. And the saying is that there's probably a Camel component for that. If not, go write one. So, what do you use Camel for? Well, you use it for integrating. System integration, data integration, or just integration. So Camel is that kind of thing that sits in between different systems and make them talk to each other. So Camel is an integration framework, or like I like to say, it's an integration kit or toolbox. So in this toolbox, we have enterprise integration patterns, which are in fact a book. This book is authored by Gregor Hobby and Bobby Wolf, which were consultants many years ago that went from client to client and saw the same problems occurring over and over again, and then took notes how to solve these problems. And then all these notes accumulated, and then the idea of turning that into a book came to life, and they published this big book. And yes, it is the second biggest Camel book. It used to be the biggest one, but I beat it. My latest book is more than 900 pages, and this one is only 800 and something like that. But it's the integration Bible. It's like the people that are a bit old, they know the Gang of Four books, the object-oriented book, this is the integration book with patterns. And it's a very rare book. If you pick up a book today and read it, many of the information is still valid. You know, in IT, that is not the same thing. For example, if you pick up my book, Camel book, it's been out for a couple of years now, and it's almost up to date. But now Camel 3 comes out, and then, oh shit, we have to write a new one. Or a smaller one.
Yeah.
So in the book, we have patterns. So we have common vocabulary to talk about integration. The most famous one is the content-based router. You can filter messages, you can route them dynamically, and so on and so on. So in Camel, you integrate system using integration flows, or we call them routes in Camel. So here on the side are 2 examples. That is the same in Java code or XML. That's all you need to write from an endpoint to another endpoint. So the architecture of Camel is basically like this. In the center, we have Camel context, which is runtime Camel. The idea is that you can add routes to these Camel contexts. And in those routes, you can use these enterprise integration patterns to filter or route them and call business logic and so on. And down here on the bottom, you have Camel components. And you use these components to connect to different systems. And you can run Camel anywhere, almost anywhere. it's a Java-based technology, so it requires Java. So Kemlin's been around for a long time. So back in the early days, it was common to run them in application servers or ESPs and the like that. But in recent time, some people are starting to use Linux containers, and Kemlin adapts and works beautiful there as well. And also, as you will see later with the Kemlin K talk, you know, Kemlin runs beautifully in a serverless architecture as well. It runs with popular runtime, Spring Boot, Carafe, Eclipse microprofile. Can I say Eclipse at the FashionCon? I don't know. And then there's also this new product called Quarkus. Yeah, that was a slide. It's not updated. They have a new logo now. And yeah, also, sorry, this is Diego's Wi-Fi. I should have removed it because, you know, that was a slide from a Red Hat event. So, Kemlin can come with a lot of components. You can connect to many different things. On the slide, this is more to say there are different categories. You have your typical enterprise systems and the corporate cloud with the big vendors like Amazon and Google, Microsoft Azure. You also have your SaaS offering like Facebook and Drop and Salesforce and so on. But again, down in the bottom, there's also a category for IoT where Kemlin is used. So you may think, okay, is Kemlin really running on small embedded devices? Like, nah, this doesn't work. I used to have a smart watch, but this is not a smart watch. It's just a regular watch, no, very beautiful watch from my wife. But you may think, no, Kemlin is Java, and Java cannot run on very small embedded devices. But in the IoT category, it is common to have a gateway. So you have small devices that emits data to a sensor, and the gateway in between can relay the data to a backend system. And on the gateway, that is a small microprocessor that is still powerful enough to run Java, and then you can run a Kemlin. So this is also a common platform architecture we see, for example, at the casinos with the chips. And components. There's a lot of components with Kemlin. And here's a slide. It's probably a bit outdated now because we have a few more components added to it. Many, many years ago, I used to have a table in the slide, so with all the components. So every time I have to give a talk, I have to shift the table and have multiple pages. The problem was when I ran out of space from one slide to the next, I had to shift all of them, and it's not so easy to do in a slide.
Oh. Are these components available publicly, or are these the Red Hat, or is it the same thing, or...?
That's a good question. Are these components available public, or are there some that's only Red Hat? No, they're all available in the public. I would say there's one component we do have in Red Hat only, and it's only because of licensing. If we can publish them in the public, we'll always do it. We have a SAP connector at the Red Hat integration part of Red Hat Fuse. We can't distribute at the Apache Software Foundation. But we favor always to have them in the public. We don't want to have some that are specialized only at Red Hat.
So did Red Hat write some of these public components?
Yes, we did. In fact, we write some of them, and we have a lot of contributors that write them as well. That's why there are so many. So what is happening is that people that start using Kemlin in their organization, they find a need for integrating with some system. There's maybe not a Kemlin component for it. And then sometimes they get permission from their organization to publish and donate a component to Apache. And then we take it in and we do some validation of the code. And they also need to pass the clearance, for example, the licensing of the third parties that this component is using has to be in there's a compliance with Apache. And if it's not in compliance, we cannot accept it. If it is, then we accept it. So that's why there are so many. So please, you're more than welcome to build new Kemlin components. So to summarize Kemlin in pictures, so everybody understands, integration kit, you have these enterprise integration patterns, you go and build your Kemlin routes with these patterns, then you use these Kemlin components to connect to different systems, and all of that, that's Kemlin. So what I said for the last 10 minutes, I could just show you the slide and everybody will be up to speed what Kemlin is. Why didn't I do that? Damn. So Kemlin 3. So what's new? So this is also new to me. Yay! Let's give it a applause. And unfortunately, this is just a screenshot, but you know, there is sort of like a basil, so this one can actually change. Let's say you go to the live website, so it's a very modern website. I think the guy that created this one has been spending many, many hours to make that effect. So this is just the start. So we do finally have a new website. It works on mobile devices and whatnot. And that's also a motivation that we will, you know, update the content itself. The documentation will get much better in the future and so on. And when we do changes now, they will go live immediately. It is also multiple version. So you can go and say, I'm using Camel 3.1. And you can find the documentation for that exact version on 3.2 and 3.0. And also we will do a partially updated documentation for the last Camel 2x version. So you can go and find the component documentation of 2x, the pattern documentation and so on. Because the old website, that's gone. It's totally just destroyed. You might find it in Internet Archive or some Google caches, but it's gone. So what are the other big goals or the targets for Camel 3? Well, we initially said it will be a Java 11 only, but we relaxed that one because we know there's a lot of Java 8 users out there, and we don't have yet the need for migrating the API in Camel to be requiring Java 11. So we are still on Java 8, but just be warned that sometime on 3x we will drop Java 8. We have done that in the past on Camel 2x with 1.6 and 1.7 and so on, so it's not uncommon. But this is the first version to fully support Java 11. And also, GraalVM, or how many people know about GraalVM or Substrate and these kind of things? Not so many, but this is also a big target for Camel using the Camel Corpus project. Spring Boot, of course, is there. And as I said, the Camel main thing is to sort of like a mini version of a very lightweight version of bootstrapping Camel as a standalone version. We use that for ourselves in Camel Corpus and Camel K. And also the usual bundle, usable bit Karat or OSGI, and again, microprofile, Eclipse microprofile, is there. Another very big goal of Camel 3 was that we modelize Camel itself, the Camel Core. So in 2x, there was one big jar. Now it has been split up to many modules. On the side here, there are two ones that are, you know, for end users, the Camel API, which is just the interface, is the actual API of Camel, and the Camel support, which are the base classes that you use to build your Camel components or your Camel applications. So these are the two jars you kind of only need to focus on. There's also Camel util, which has some common util we use internally in Camel, but you don't need to use that at all, but it's there. And of course, there's also Camel main if you need the bootstrap Camel itself. Also, the components that came out of Camel Core in 2x has been moved out, so there's a lot of new components for that, even the direct component, the SEDA, and so on. They all moved out. And we did them one by one, and one of the hardest ones was actually the mock component. You know, we use mocks in for testing Camel, so you can send a message to mock endpoints and then do assertion if the message is like that and has this header and so on. So it's actually something you only use for testing. But in Camel 2, you carry that with you in production. So we wanted to get rid of that in Camel Core for Camel 3, but it was sort of entangled a bit too much into Camel. So it took a while to get that untangled, but it's now out. And there's a few more things we would like to modelize again. So maybe, you know, on 3.1, 3.2, there will be even more. So we go a bit crazy there. If you compare, so what you can do as well in Camel 3 is to kind of slice and dice. If you just want to be like in Camel 2, you just say, I want to use Camel Core, and you get all the same set of libraries as you did in 2x. Now it's just 33 jars. One jar in the old version, now is 33. So that's quite a big modularization. But you can also pick and choose. So you can go very lightweight with Camel Core Engine, which is just the core engine of Camel, and that are 12 jars. And then you can add the other dependency you need. Here is an example where we use that to have a faster startup and a lower footprint on Camel itself. because there is classes to load and so on. In 2x there are 5,000 classes to load, that is about 5.3 megabytes in jars. In column 3 there's only 4,200 classes and 3.9 megabytes of jar size. Also internally, Common Core we are optimized then in different places to, you know, to make it faster than Camel 2. And you know, many small optimization is all helping. So it has a significant win on Camel. One of the great wins we did was also to when we built Camel product, we now source code generate a number of things. Most prominently is the type conversion in Camel. In 2x, they are reflection-based, versus in Camel 3, they're totally source code generated and just the regular source Java method invocation. So that is actually a significant win in making them well faster. And we're doing the same trick, if you want to say, for other parts of Camel, especially around configuration of Camel itself. So when it starts up, there's a lot of configuration going on in Camel, and 2x, some of that are reflection-based. Now, we are using much more source code generation of that. So for all the input configuration and component configuration, we are using your direct method invocation now. That's quite a lot of things to do, because if you know, we have 300 components, and many of these components has options you can configure. I think one time we had more than 10,000 different options on all them, those combined. So there's a lot of things going on. JMX is also optional now. That also means that in some container platforms or cloud infrastructure where you don't use DMX, that is totally off, not enabled at all the more, it's not carried around on Camel. We also have a new lifecycle in Camels. If you're going to have a build lifecycle, and you may think, okay, what is a build lifecycle? Well, that is a lifecycle that allows us to optimize Camel for cloud platforms that can pre-compile your application to native code, which is that Graal thing I was talking a bit about using the Quarkus project. Another feature in Camel is the endpoint DSL. So up here on the first one, this is a typical way of configuring Camel endpoints, which you use in UI style with just a string. So you can say, I have a timer, it's called my timer. It's the option fixed rate equals true, and the period option equals 500, and the synchronization equals false. That is actually, from the Java compiler point of view, just a string. So what can happen is that you can make a typo. You don't have code assistant out of the box normally. There are some tools that can give you code hints here and assist you. But now in Camel 3, we have a specified Fluent Builder at DSL for that. So that is what in the bottom says. So you just say timer, this is the name of the timer, the option is fixed rate, that is a Java method call, true, false, like a Boolean, period is an integer, and so on. And it's generated, source code generated, so we get that for free every time you add options. It was quite magic how to implement that. And this comes for all the Camel components. You just add dependency Camel endpoint DSL, and you're good to use it. The core in Camel is also now more reactive. All the enterprise patterns has now been optimized and be fully reactive. There are no blocking parts of it. There are some parts in 2x that where that could actually happen, but not too many places, but there are a few places that can happen. One of the features we have postponed for a future Camel release is to go fully implement back pressure. And also, one of the other things is that we want to use the Java Flow API, which requires Java 9 and onwards, and we are still supporting Java 8 for currently. So it will come later. A new feature is the Camel main. Again, this is a way to start up Camel in standalone mode. We use that in Camel K and Camel Quarkus, but you as an end user are also allowed to use that. The idea of the Camel main is also that it's a unified way of configuring Camel, so it's the same way of using it standalone, but also with Camel K and Quarkus and so on. And it supports, you know, application.properties file like Spring Boot will do. And there is tooling support for some of these tools that can give you auto-completion in that file. Down here we have VS Code, showing that.
Is the IntelliJ IDEA support recently?
Yes, this is very recently, because these ones are... So, if you don't know it, there is a plugin for IntelliJ that has been around for a long time. I helped start it. And there's another plugin for Eclipse and so on. It's based on a standard called LSP, Language Service Protocol, that allows this tool to integrate many different tools, but not IntelliJ. So we have two sets of tools, one for IntelliJ and one for all the others. And frankly, we would like to have one, right, instead of maintaining two. So when new features come in one, we have to add them in the second one. Now, it happens to be the guys that maintain the LSP ones. Those are professional paid developers to do it. Those are, you know, Red Hat employees working on that tool, versus the IntelliJ one was myself and one other guy maintaining it. And I'm too busy now. So there's only the other guy maintaining it. I might help a bit, and there's a little community around it. So, but, you know, anybody's welcome to help. Some of the other features coming in Canon 3 is, yes, JUnit 5 support. So it's almost there. There's a Canon test JUnit 5. And just recently, the Spring support for JUnit 5 is on the way. So the idea is that you can use JUnit 4 as today, but also JUnit 5 in, for Canon 3. But you can also even mix and match. So we can migrate your unit test yourself one by one instead of a giant either or. So that's a great thing, you know. But it takes quite a while to implement that. We have a guy at Red Hat that's working full-time on that. He's been doing that for over a month now. There's one more ERP coming, the STEP ERP. The idea is you can logical group a number of patterns together, one logical name that gives you sort of like a way of, you know, monitoring that with a group performance statistic and so on. Another feature is the lazy start producer. So the idea is that when you bootstrap Camel start up, it start up a number of services, and some of these services connect to remote systems, and if those remote systems are down and fail to start, then you know, Camel will fail to start. Sometimes you don't want that. So what you can do is to say, okay, start these producer lazily, and then they will, Camel will be able to start up, and only on the demand, when you call this system, the producer will be started, and then if something goes wrong, it's just a regular Camel routing error handler kicking in. So a side note on that, there's also a different way of controlling the startup of your routes in Camel using a route controller. The one is asynchronous now. You can actually plug in a different route controller that can kind of monitor your route startup activities and retry starting them and so on with fallbacks and so on. It's a much more advanced way of starting up routes, so you could have used that as well. The bean registry in Camel, now you can actually add beans to it. In 2x you couldn't, so you had to go kind of go behind the scenes to do that, especially in your unit test. It was a bit cumbersome to do that, but now you can just bind beans to it. It doesn't matter whether you're using Spring or CDI or not. You can also add that to Camel. And there's also, we are working on the Camel route model itself to be more tooling friendly. And part of that is also we are working on a YAML DSL for Camel. That seems a little crazy, but to define Camel route in YAML. We have XML, we have Java code, and we have maybe Groovy and so on, but also YAML. So that will be possible, but it's just based on Camel K currently. And over time, that will mature, and then it'll be part of Camel itself. And you may say, why YAML? Well, YAML is the new XML, the new JSON, you know, that is what the Kubernetes guy loves.
Yeah.
So we end up with YAML Hill as well. So the timeline for Camel 3, so we started, switched over the master brand from Camel in 19 December last year. And then we have four milestone releases with different features coming in. And now we are on release candidate 1. Has just been published recently. We target a second release candidate next month and then GA in November. So altogether, it will be more or less one full year of active development on Camel 3. It's a time box release. We want it to be released before this year, so November, December kind of thing. It will be out in 2019, I'll tell you. So that's awesome. So, what's my time? 15, okay. I still got some minutes. What about Camel K? I will not steal all your thunder, but it's a lightweight integration platform based on CAML running on Kubernetes. And it can also run on OpenShift. Yes, I said it, my employer's container distribution. But you can also run it with Knative. And Nicola and Andrea will talk more about that. But how does it work, or how can you use it? Well, sometimes developers don't want to deal about Spring Boot or Carafe or how to bootstrap it all. They just want to write integration code. So why not? Can they just write a simple file, Java code, Groovy code, whatever, just a simple file with some simple integration logic, and run that? Then CamelK comes with the tool, for example, command line. You say camel run, and then the name of the file. And then, behold, something runs in the cluster, in the container. How does it work? You'll see much more about tomorrow. One of the things that is something, a magic thing going on here, is the CamelK operator that figures out how to do all that. But I will not steal your magic, so I will move on. One of the big goals of CamelK is also to have quick redeployment or deployment. So one of the problems with container-based platforms is that you every change you need to rebuild an entire container image, and that can take a long time or longer time. As the graph shows, there are different ways. The green one was the slowest one, where you take and build a totally new container image based from taking the source code from a Git repository, something like that, and run it through maybe a CI pipeline and whatnot, and then do that. And it's the same time for the initial deployment and for every change, because it goes through the same step. CamelK has some magic, and this is what you guys will talk about, that can make redeployment really fast. And even also this one. Sometimes this one is also fast. And it will be faster in the future as well. So, a quick demo of that. I have a YouTube video, 40 seconds, not too long, if it works with the internet. So I say camel run, and this is the code I want to run in dev mode. Dev mode means it will tail the logs. And now down here is running. Hello, camel K. We have a talk container. This is just a web console to see it. When I change something up here, I say hello, Boston, because it was from Red Hat. Summit in Boston, save the file, notice how it changed over here, and now up the page here says hello Boston. Okay, so now you don't need to go to their talk. Wow! sorry, no. If you want to know all that magic, and Nicola, he has much better demos than I have. And sure. They might even be live. It has something to do with a very famous guy. Yes. So, the last thing, camel quarkus. So, yes, quarkus. So, excuse me, this is also a very famous guy. really awesome author, and really, really awesome movie. And Java has been predicted to be dead for a long time, and, you know, it's not dead, and we also heard from the father of James Java today, James Gosling, that Java is still very much alive, has a kick-ass community, so Java is awesome. But we want to make it Java even more awesome. And the other guys that are kind of picking on Camel and saying, Camel, you have a problem, you have a density problem, because on container things, I can pack all of these small microservices, old microservices, and I can run a lot of them. Also, the Node guys, even though they're JavaScript and so on, the kind of thing, they also say, we can also run quite a lot of them. And then the Java guys think, shit, I'm a little too fat. Even if I'm using the hipster Spring Boot kind of things and whatnot, it's still maybe 140 megabytes of memory just to run servlet with Hello World, something like that. So that's a problem for Java. How can we make that better? Another problem with Java is this scaling problem. To bootstrap Java and start your application takes time, but also to shut it down. So Java was created at a time where the idea is to start up a process and keep it running forever, and keep it running, you know. God forbid it stops. Whereas in the container and cloud world, it's the opposite. The idea is to quickly spin up a container and run it for a while and shut it down when you don't need it. So you don't, you know, use resources when you don't need it, you don't pay for resources and so on. So you need to be able to scale up and scale down and do it very quick. And scale to zero, that's one of his words. Scale to zero is the new word on the street. STZ, S2Z, that's a new one. So what is Quarkus? So this is what they say, I don't really understand it either. A Kubernetes native Java stack tailored for Qual and OpenJDK hotspot crafted from the best of breed Java libraries and standards. Yeah, yeah. What the fuck is that? So, the camera guys, we are very poor at creating a website, but now we have a better one, and the Quarkus guys is really poor at creating a tagline for what the hell it is. So the Quarkus guy will go out like me, trying for 12 years to explain what the hell it is. They could just say fast Java or something like that. So they have created this futuristic kind of slide to convince you guys that Quarkus is the best thing since sliced bread. So the idea is we, for example, have a traditional cloud stack for Java, takes up so much memory, then Quarkus is able to optimize that on the JVM, even on the JVM, about the half of the size, and then you can go native. That means you can compile your application to native binaries, and it will be much smaller in memory. You also have a risk. It's easy to build a Hello World example and say, yes, this is awesome, but try something that is a bit more complicated. So they have a REST application with a database access. And because the Quarkus guys, those are kind of like the Java E guys, they love these specs. So it's JPA, CDI specs and these kind of things. So it's Hibernate and all this kind of thing. But it's really quite impressive anyway that they can get that down to 35 megabytes. But very importantly is the boot time and the time to service the first request. That is important. One thing is to start up really fast, but you also have to fast to process the first message. That combination is what matters. So the boot first response time, that is really what matters. And the fastest one is, you know, in milliseconds, and the slowest one is still in seconds, but it's still quite a significant win. And here on the slide, I have a magic GIF that's with a camel application, just a timer and a log, but still it runs. Here I execute the binary, and it starts in 7 milliseconds. We do have some examples where we do something more, but we're talking about 10 milliseconds and thereabouts. So we have a fast scale-up camel using Graal, and also we'll get a fast scale down and scale to zero. And also very importantly is the application size is only 28 megabytes and the memory usage is only 15 resident set memory. That's the total amount of memory used. And this is actually based on an early version of Quarkus and Camel, not the latest one. So the latest one will be even better. But I'm too lazy to create a new one. I have a good... And as you can see, that it does say Quarkus 909 snapshot. And the camel version is not displayed, actually, but the latest one, they will display it. So it works there. And for that, let's summarize a bit. So some of the trends... So this is actually a slide I borrowed from a colleague of mine. I think it's awesome. But it shows some of these trends where you're going from the Azure monolithic kind of thing to the microservice and now with the cloud-native function serverless kind of things. And you're not supposed to read everything of this one, but if you go and find the slides later, you have some good trends going on where we minutes, seconds, and milliseconds in startup and first response. More camel talks. I already talked about, you know, Nicola and Andreas talks, but there are others. Sammy will talk after 45 minutes in this room. Basically, all the camel talks are in this room, so it's very easy to remember, or other integration talks. Christina is also giving a talk tomorrow. Was it in this room, or did you move it?
Same
room, okay. So everything is in here. And where can you find more information about this? The camel website. I'm actually now adding it to my slides because I'm okay you guys going looking at the new website. The video is on YouTube. Also, if you want to not go to Nicola Andreas' talk, but if you want to watch it on some talk on YouTube, then there's also a very good talk here, what CAML is, CAML-K is. But go, please go and see that talk. Any other questions? Yep, yep. Yes, sir.
Is CAML-K then running with CAML 3?
Is CAML-K running with CAML 3? Yes, but it did in early also support CAML 2, but we want it to be all CAML 3.
I have one more question. If I already have an application running in Apache CAML 2, is it hard to do the migration to CAML 3?
Is it hard to do the migration from CAML 2 to CAML 3? It depends. So we have a migration guide. So from end user point of view, we try to minimize the impact. If you have bit custom components, you need to migrate because the APIs have changed there, but it's just a routine, you know, change some base classes and whatnot. Depending on what you use as an end user, the CAML features, sometimes you may not have very much migration need, other times you may need to change a little bit. But we do have a pretty solid migration guide.
For basic like routes?
Yes, basic routes, there will 98% be the same. So, but again, I suggest you to read that migration guide if you hit any problems. And we'd like to hear about it, so we can make it easier. We also talked about having an adapter, so you can add an adapter to your product that can adapt between CAML 2 and CAML 3. But we need the community feedback, how hard it is to migrate, if whether or not it makes it worthwhile to build that adapter. We had other questions.
Since the ESP architecture is moving towards the microservices, so is there any tool or plans to build the route view in the hard distributed components? Like how we see in hot view today, like the routes?
Yes.
Right? It just shows it one instance, right? But not like the entire flow.
Okay, so the question was, if the architecture moves from, let's say, a monolith towards more distributed, is there any tooling that can visualize my CAML routes in a distributed manner? And there's a tool called Hot.io today that is based on a one instance, so it lacks that feature. And I would say that that's become a part of a bigger picture now. On the cloud-native kind of platform architecture, you can have sort of like tracing. So it's more like these products that will sort of do that, distribute tracing, and then they have visualization of that. So there are also some tools that can do that. So CAML is just a way of integrating these tools, and then you can visualize the message flow from these tools. So it's not CAML specific, but it becomes more a general solution. So that's the way I would point you to go towards instead. A question here?
So we have a Spring Boot application, and we are using Kafka component there as well. One of the things we are using is Spring Sleuth, and Spring Sleuth is a distributed tracing thing. CAML does not play very well right now with Sleuth, so we had to override a lot of internal classes to embed, marry CAML with Sleuth. Is there any plans to support Sleuth, or would you like to contribute the code that we have?
You already answered that, probably. Yes, is there any integration with Spring Sleuth in CAML? No. Unfortunately, the distributed tracing we so far is Zipkin and open tracing. There's no specific CAML Spring Sleuth component. But you guys are already building that, and all the things you have something working in production, so please get to us in the community, and we'll happily accept it and then get it as a, let's say, out-of-the-box solution for everybody to use.
Yeah. Are there plans to use other languages other than Java? And I know that Java is the primary language, but like Go, let's say, to build the import components for routes.
So that's a good question. So are there other plans to use other languages for CAML? So at the time, I would say we were slightly worried about running Java on the cloud, in particular with container technology, because Java was too fast for that. But, you know, we do have a way now with the native compilation, growl, forward thing. So I would say the Go story is not off the table, but it's probably more part of Nicholas and the Knative approach, where Knative sort of becomes that way of integrating different systems, and you can have some Knative sources that are built in Go or something like that, and CAML stays kind of Java thing. The idea is not that we want to rewrite or write a new camel in Go with the sort of like ELT routing. No, we don't want to do that. Well, we don't have resources. But there was a time where we were considering it. And we had a guy creating a prototype, GAML, Yugo, but it's kind of been laying low for a couple of years. So, other questions?
Two questions. First, how do you say camel comparing with goblin? Second question is, how do you say camel deal with parallel processing? For example, we have environment, Docker environment, and we have really large data. We create a camel app, but we want all those nodes sharing them.
Okay, so what the first question was, compare camel with
goblin.
Apache Goblin. Oh, I'm not too familiar with Apache Goblin, so at this moment I can't answer that question. The second one was about large data in a distributed platform. So CAMEL, in that area, CAMEL is just part of that solution, whether or not you have to use something else. Like CAMEL has, you know, support for streaming-based data, so it doesn't have to process all the payloads into memory. But, you know, if you're talking more like a Apache Spark platform or something like that, or the problem, then, you know, use that. CAMEL is not a full solution. CAMEL can just be used as a library. So use it where it makes sense. Otherwise, I think we can maybe talk afterwards about your use case. That sounds interesting. What's the next speaker? Is the next speaker in the room?
Yeah, I am.
You're the next speaker?
Yes.
Okay. So... when are you need to prepare soon?
In like half an hour. Oh no, it's 4:45.
It's coffee break.
Ah, okay. So you any other questions, or otherwise we'll wrap it up.
You have time for more questions.
Otherwise, we will be around also later today and tomorrow. We can just, you know.
How do you feel about Spring integration?
Good question. How do you feel about it?
Let's start worrying.
Nobody, not so many people use it. Camel is better.
Yeah.
and James Ross, Gosling also say camel rocks. Apache camel rocks. I made him say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just a question. You mentioned that the camel operates well in IoT use cases. Do you have an example? Because it's also not very easy to
problem,
by the way. It's not very nice way.
So in IoT, you know, it's not running on the device, it's running on the gateways in between. So you have a gateway that is sort of like a microprocessor that's powerful enough to run Java. The camel has connectors for the popular protocol for IoT with top-up and MQTT and these kind of things.
So the DSL would be in the device?
No. The device is maybe you see. Very likely not using Java at all, but it emits data from sensors or whatnot. Those sensors send data to the microprocessor. The microprocessor can also run Java, and in Java you can use CAMEL, and then you can use CAMEL to send data to a backend using network. And those protocols, you can use anything you like, Kafka, AMP, or these kind of things, but sophisticated, these more embedded devices are not in use. Of course, other libraries that can do that as well, but
just escreve mais, mas ele fica mais.
If you can, run Java on that microprocessor, not everybody can.
Igual no Python, né? Você no começo dá um choque assim. Né?
Okay, so thank you very much.
I came by your booth. I'm from Uber. We have a service called Medley. That's actually what I'm doing the talk about next.
Can I have one? Stickers?
Oh yeah, I have stickers up here. It's the cool Camel K stickers.
Are you gonna publish your presentation on the website, or where can we?
Where should I publish it? On GitHub.
On GitHub. Okay.
You
might be able to do it on the website.
Is there like a PassyCon website where it's supposed to? Oh yeah, I can. I'll get it probably somewhere. You can find it on the Camel Web main. There's a news section.
Okay.
Also, are you following Twitter or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think I have you on Twitter.
I'll post it there as well.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, let me just as an extraction and so I'm going to disturb this guy.
Nice presentation.
Okay. Yeah, you know everything. Thanks for starting working on again.
Yeah.
I hope you also get time for the project.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi.
Yeah, I'll be here full day tomorrow. So let's catch up tomorrow. Yeah. Nice to care of here.
Yeah.
So, can I steal 2 minutes of your time?
Sorry?
Can I steal 2 minutes of your time to prepare just to see if the
Beamer
goes with my laptop?
Yeah. What do you want to try? Are you presenting after me?
I'm presenting in last slot of the day. But since we have time in between. Where is the...
Go ahead. Do you have a connector?
Yeah, just need the HDMI.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
HDMI,
yeah. 1 second.
But it needs to be a platform. That's where you have multiple choices. And you are already investigating OCI and after that. And so, I think Jim Bassist has talked about and he's a fan of OCI and the traders. It's a tough question because Red Hat, we have a 4478 for all the way of distributing the similar or more advanced than the for some of the customers. The reason for now we are seeing the best mode and things about that platform. So I would say that is the future.
Is that what you're trying to show?
Yeah, I was just trying to.
What's the resolution?
It's kind of.
So, if the long road I can get there,
it's fine. It's fine. Okay, sort of fine. I think it's fine, right?
Yes.
There's this. The only problem is here that we need to squint.
Maybe.
Because here basically adjust to the same. Even if you don't adjust to the same. So, I mean, you can do that, but probably it's even
worse.
The program request.
Praticamente
ti permette di usare la risoluzione che vuoi.
Mi permette di configurare lo screen senza l'auto magia di GNOME
che non ce l'ho perché c'è un Windows Manager. E anche perché quello a volte non va così te fai a mano.
Solo che hai visto lì c'è solo la porzione che non ha proprio quello schermo lì però. Ah già.